It's our privilege to welcome this team. Goodness, you guys are from all over South Africa and the world, basically. Corbin's going to tell you more a bit about his team, but it's my privilege to introduce Corbin this morning. So I think it was about 2 years ago, my wife watched Corbin's grandfather's name's David Hogan, and she watched a testimony or a sermon and a testimony from David, and she called me close and she says, you got to watch this, and we watched it, and I think she ended up watching it about 3 times. It so deeply touched her and moved her. It's 2 hours long, and I think she watched it at least 3 times. And so we heard about the ministry of the Hogan family, and Jolene looked them up online, and she sent them an email. I think it was to your email inbox or something. You know those email inboxes that go nowhere at all, that nobody ever answer? You know those websites where they say, please email us, and then, anyway, maybe it's just me. Anyway, and so we didn't hear anything, honestly, for about a year or so. But then all of a sudden, ping, you've got mail. And we had a reply. We had a reply from the ministry, and they said, we're coming to South Africa. And they ministered up in East London, I think, for, goodness, a week or two, did some amazing conferences up there. Corbin's grandfather and their whole team. And then, we'd only been exposed to his grandfather, to David. And so, they said, David can't come, but his grandson, Corbin, is also here. Would you like him to come? And I said, we'll take any Hogan, thank you. So Corbin is here. So we're just so blessed and privileged. And, Jolene and I, we've been attending conferences this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we had the privilege of going to I went to Zeal Thursday night and Friday night, which is Shofar's conference, and on Saturday, yesterday we spent some time where his grandfather was ministering, David was ministering, and my goodness, the testimonies that this family carries is just, it's phenomenal. It's the stuff that you read about in the book of Acts. There's something incredible that's resting on this family and this team that's ministering all over the world. And I warn you, get ready to be challenged. Their testimonies are incredibly inspiring, but incredibly challenging. So you might just want to strap on a seatbelt there, okay, because be ready to get challenged. The sermon where you're going to feel good, that one's coming next week. So you maybe came the wrong sign up, but if you come back next week, we'll go easy on you. But I tell you, I was so challenged. It's why at one point I'm like, oh my goodness, am I saved? You know, it's just that's how you know challenging their messages are and how real they really come to the cold face with the ministry of the gospel. And so we honor you guys, Corbin, you and your team, for the incredible work that you're doing literally on the ground, sleeves rolled up, and just really changing the world. And so I think you're something like your grandfather's an 8th generation preacher. Are you number 10? Okay, my goodness. So he's the 10th generation preacher. I don't think there's anybody in the room that's a 10th generation preacher. So let's give the man a hand. Bless you.
Good morning. We're very honored to be here. It's always an encouragement to go to different places and know that there's people there as well walking the walk of faith, that are striving to reach God and to touch the people and to help the people. Firstly, I would like to declare over you peace, healing, and restoration over your mind, your body, and your land. About 2 months ago, I felt like God put that on me, that every service that I have the chance to minister in, that I'm to start with that. And so I'm going to do that until I feel it lift. This morning, we're a smaller team. Team split up to go to 2 different places. I've asked I think everybody in my team to share a little bit. So we have Josiah, my brother-in-law. He grew up in Mexico. And then Brother Marcus, he's from Austria. He's been working with us for a while. And then Brother Daniel, who we've recently been in contact with from South Africa. And I asked Josiah and Daniel to greet y'all, and then Brother Marcus, if you wanted to share something this morning. So I'll hand it over to them for a second, and then afterwards I'll preach.
Good morning, everyone. Like you said, my name is Josiah Carter. It's a blessing to be here with y'all. Like you said, I've been in Mexico most of my life. Well, I grew up there about 20. I'm 22. I've been there since I was little. So it's basically home for me. But I wanted to share a verse in the Bible with y'all here in Numbers 23. Numbers chapter 23, starting in verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I have received a commandment to bless. He has blessed, and we cannot revoke it. And I call the blessing of God on this place today. And with that, I greet you and hello. Thank you all very much.
Good morning, everyone. As you can hear, I'm the most foreign of them all. Come all the way from the Eastern Cape. I don't know if you've heard of it. From East London. It's really a privilege to be here this morning. I just want to start by also just saying Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. You really play an important role, and I pray that the Lord will just bless you all today and all the days of your life as well. Also just want to say thank you so much to your leadership for letting us be here today. I know that you wanted us to be here, but it's a risk, so thank you so much for doing that and for opening your house. And I really just encourage everyone to just receive today, no matter what the message is, no matter what happens or doesn't happen, whatever your expectation, just trust the Lord for whatever you need. And over the past few days, the Lord has really put this verse that I'm going to share with you on my heart. It's my verse, but you can share it, I guess. It's from Proverbs 25, verse 2. I'm sure many of us know it. It says in the NLT, it is God's privilege to conceal things and the king's privilege to discover them. And the past few days we've been seeing a lot, or sort of we've seen the effects of the Holy Spirit. And often I'll stand and I'll think to myself, you know, what's actually going on in the Spirit behind the scenes? And what I felt the Lord drop in my heart is that some things are not obvious to you. Some things have been concealed, but you have the privilege to seek them out. You have the privilege to discover them for yourself. And so I just want to bless all of you with that and encourage you today. Whatever you see or don't see, just keep pursuing what the Lord has for you, because we have the privilege to discover everything that He's concealed for us. So, yeah, bless you.
I'm from Europe. I'm from Austria. My name is Markus. Exactly, it's Markus. But Brother David always says Markus. And I love it, yeah. I was a professional soccer player, and I was signing my first contract with age 17. And then, age 19, I was at the military on the border to Hungary. And, you know, I didn't know the gospel. I didn't know God. I was raised Catholic. But at the borders, Jesus appeared to me, you know, suddenly. And He introduced Himself to me as the light of the world, and the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I was shocked, you know. And then it took me 2 years to to find the first church. Everybody thought I'm crazy. And, you know, now I'm privileged to work together with a man who has this testimony on his life. Jesus, the same yesterday and forever. Yeah. And many people are asking me how I was connected, you know, with the Hogans. I'm not a Hogan, but I'm a son of Brother David too, in the spirit. Everybody wants ministry, but almost nobody wants family. This is not so with us, you know, because it was 2007. I was hearing and watching the videos, was listening to Brother David, and I thought, man, I have to know this man. And so I was a professional soccer player, then a professional soccer trainer, and I planted my first church in the west of Austria, on the border to Switzerland, and I thought by myself, what can I do? Okay, so I was praying and fasting 3 days, and in the last night, suddenly, I was hearing it, write him right now. And I thought by myself, no, he has invitations from the largest churches in the world, and it's so difficult to get him. but I tried it anyway because I heard it. And it was funny. A few hours later, he was writing back, I'm coming. He didn't ask. And I thought by myself, man, we are just 15 people. But, you know, he's not interested in that. He told me later, Jesus asked me to come to you. And, you know, and in this time, 2009, he came the first time to us in Austria. And Jesus told me then, it won't be just a visit. It won't be just one time coming together. It will be a kind of working together. It will be kind of family. Yeah, and this is how it went. Now I'm with 15 years connected. I told him the last time, it's possible for Coley to have been connected with Coley for a season, but with sons, that's for life. You know? Hallelujah. So I really loved this man. I love his son, Jody, his dad. It's a very, you know, Papa David is kind of mentor, and Papa, and your dad is a close friend, you know. We try to see each other every year. They're coming to Europe in September. Man, I'm looking forward with joy to this time. And it's a privilege for me to travel the world with Brother David. Just want to close and give to Corbin. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? And I'm the embodiment of joy in Christ Jesus. So let's do it like Brother David is showing us this. Let's say, I'm the embodiment of joy. This is who I am. I'm the embodiment of peace. I'm the embodiment of freedom and life. It's really who we are. Okay. A few months ago, a friend of mine called me. He's a businessman and a very important number in Austria, you know. He's very wealthy. He likes me. He was helping me building the rooms for these guys when they're visiting. And he called me. And you know, he's this kind of guy who's even around Didi Martinčić. You know, everybody knows Red Bull? Oh, everybody knows Red Bull. Red Bull is from Austria, you know? And the founder, Didi Martinčić, my friend is even around these guys, you know? And he called me. And he said, Marcus, I have cancer in my head, behind the eye, and the doctors can't do anything. And so I thought by myself, Father, please, I don't want to lose him. I love him. And I like him. And I told my friend, okay, I'm coming. So I came into his office and just prayed a simple prayer and left again. And a few days later, he was calling me and he said, Marcus, the doctors cannot find the cancer anymore. And he's completely healed. And he told me, you know, normally it was very difficult to get his time to, but now I can meet him anytime. So I was calling Brother David. I told him, man, the guy got healed. He said, I told you. Yes. So, thank you for allowing us to be here. Love and blessings. In Jesus' name.
Awesome. Holy Ghost. It's always an encouragement to... It's an encouragement to me this morning to be here, to have the opportunity to sit here in this building with y'all and praise Him and glorify His name, to be here of one mind and of one heart, calling out, holy is His name. He is worthy. I grew up in ministry. My whole life, every day, going to church, just about. Because my grandpa believes church should be every day. And so, we do that. And I remember as a kid, just every day experiencing the power of God in the services. It was wonderful. It was so powerful, the joy and the peace that God has for us. And then as I've experienced, just about everyone in life, when they hit their teenage years, they start struggling. Because in those years, there's two things. One, you can only see the negative. So I began to see the problems in the church, the hypocrites in the church, the people that would be there on Sunday but drunk on Monday, just drunk in the street. But the other thing is, until you make the decision that He is your Savior, it's going to be a fight. So for years, I continued to go to church. I never openly rebelled out of fear of my dad and grandpa. They're two very powerful men. I'm very grateful for that. But one day we were in just a normal service. The Holy Ghost fell. It was amazing. People started getting healed and delivered. And I was just sitting in the corner. Nothing. Just like, well, I'm just over here bored. And I felt God ask me, why are you here? Why are you at church? And the only thing that I could answer is, this is what my family does. This is our family's job. I was like, wow, that's a pretty poor reason to be here. So I began to pray and to press into God. And slowly but surely, He began to reveal things to me. The first book after I learned to read that my parents gave me was the Bible. The only book that my parents ever recommended to me was the Bible. So from the time I was little, I started memorizing the Bible. So when I hit my teenage years and started struggling, every day when I would wake up, there would be a verse that hit my brain. Because they had got it into my mind, into my heart. The Word of God was alive in me. I was fighting it. And then one day, probably 16 years old, my mom handed me a piece of paper, and I was like, it's probably just more verses. I'm not going to read that right now. So I was doing school, so I just threw it on my desk. I'm like, I'm not reading that right now. I don't want to read it. All day, that piece of paper bothered me. And then at night, when I was trying to sleep, it was almost like that piece of paper was glowing. So I took it, put it in a different room. I was like, I'm not going to read it. But then I couldn't sleep. It was probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I was like, fine, I'll go read it. When I opened it, it wasn't a verse. It was a list of miracles that had happened in my life. Moments that there was no other explanation than God Himself doing a miracle in my life. As I began to read it, it was as if, as I was reading it, when I remember experiencing the power of God in those moments, it was hitting me again and again and again. Every one that I read. And in that moment, I had to make a decision. Because up until that point, He was the God of my father and my grandfather. At that point, I had to make the decision that He was my Savior. We always sing this song, "You're my defender, you're my healer, you're my shepherd." And He wants to be all of those things. He wants to be our defender. But until He is the Lord of our life, He can't be that. Because we haven't given Him access to be that for us. I have so many stories that I could share where I started doing things in my own strength. And it always ends negatively. Every time I try to do things in my own strength, I end up in debt. 100% of the time. And every time I'm praying and praying, God, please help me, please help me. I'm just, the finances aren't here, but I have a job to do. And every time it's the same answer. Until you hand it to me, I can't help you. I would say probably 90% of the time when I have a problem that feels so real to me, when I go to my dad or my grandpa, by the end of the conversation, it ends up being my fault. Something that I'm doing that's hindering it. Nobody wants to hear that. But He has so many things available for us. And I grew up in Mexico, on my grandpa's farm, working, learning the farm. And the main thing that we do is citrus. And that requires a lot of work. And One of the things that we do, because where we live is the weather is to the extreme. So for the citrus trees, we use the roots of a wild tree. And we plant it and we let it grow for a little bit. But then after a while, we graft in the good fruit. Because the wild fruit is bitter and it's no good for anything. And then you let that grow for a little bit. And then you have to go back out there and cut off the bad fruit so that the graft can be the only thing that produces. And that requires constantly watching the tree to make sure that the original root is not taken over. It's a constant work. It's a completely different tree. And that's what we have to become with God. We were one thing, but He's grafting Himself into us so that when we grow in Him, the enemy doesn't know if it's us or Him. That's what the armor of God is about. So that when we go to battle with the enemy, he doesn't know if that's Jesus or not standing in front of him. But that requires dedication. That requires giving it all to him. And I understand it's very difficult. I grew up in ministry. I grew up in every form of ministry. And it's still a daily battle. It's every day I have to decide to give it all to him. I'd like to read a verse with y'all, a few verses this morning. In Psalms chapter 73. Starting in verse 24. Psalm 73, verse 24. Says, "You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to honor and glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And I have no delight or desire on earth besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the rock and firm strength of my heart and my portion forever." Those verses repeat in my mind often. Because my heart and my body and my mind fail often. It's only in His strength that we can keep going. Whatever He gives us, we have to freely give. There are too many of us just standing there holding what God gave us. And growing up on the farm, the one thing that is one of the worst that can happen is standing water. Standing water isn't really good for anything. The only water that has life is flowing. We can receive stuff from God. But unless we use that to help someone else, to keep it flowing, we're not going to be continually giving that new life. The renewal, the refreshment. The only way we can get that is to give. We forget that sometimes. God is unlimited. His resources are unlimited. He wants to help us. But we have to take that next step towards Him to be more in His likeness. To help one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters are there to be arm in arm to help one another. To lift each other up. There are too many Christians fighting. They're killing each other for nothing. There is no gain in that. I've watched it my whole life. It only results in death. Whether it be physical death or spiritual death, those are both just as bad. I want to encourage you this morning. We can do this. He is with us. We are not alone. One of my favorite things about being able to travel is to see how many people God has in the different places in the world. Because at one point or another, we all feel alone. That we're the only one fighting. We're the only one pushing forward. That's just not true. But even if we are the only one, He's still with us. Because He is our Father. And being a dad, when my son was born, it completely changed my world. And then now the way that my son and my daughter look at me, it just makes me break down every time. That's the way I have to look at the Father. Just wow. He's amazing. He's worthy. We have to come to Him with open arms and open hearts. One of my favorite things about the Bible is every time I read it, there's something in there that I didn't see the last time. Because as we grow, as we get closer to Him, we have more understanding. We can handle the knowledge. This place that y'all live is absolutely beautiful. Where I live, absolutely beautiful as well. It's also in the mountains. Every person in here has a role to play. God has an adventure for each and every one of us every day. When I wake up in the morning, asking, what's my job today? It's a joy to wake up and to go to church, to celebrate with one another. To me, church is so much more powerful than a lot of people realize. Because this is the easiest it's going to be. In this room, where we're together praising His name. It's a decision we have to make. That no matter what, we're going to do His word. Because in Philippians 4:4 it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourself in Him." Again I say, rejoice. And for many years, I took that as a suggestion. No, that is a command. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life, what our emotions are saying, we have to rejoice in Him. Because holy is His name. And one of the stories that always hits me when I read Philippians 4:4 is the story of Paul and Silas, where they were thrown in prison. They were rejoicing. Did they want to rejoice in that moment? No. No, they didn't. I know they didn't. They were beat, bleeding, their hands and feet tied. And yet, they had a song in their mouth. Giving Him the glory. Praising Him. There's always going to be results in that. Every time that I get overwhelmed with the problems in the churches and just life, there's always problems. And then all of a sudden I'll just stop. I'll be like, nope. I need to lift up a song. A song of praise. And when I do, when I have the strength to overcome my problems and just rejoice in Him, there's always results. 100% of the time. About 8 months ago, I had kind of got set in a routine, because when I'm in Mexico, I go out just about every day and minister in one of our churches. And so I kind of got set in a little bit of a routine going out every day. And it was just like, man, something's not right. Yes, my schedule did say I have to minister in these churches. But God has set appointments for each and every one of us. There is somebody that you're responsible for reaching. And so I started asking God, what is my job for today? What do you have? What appointment do you have set for me today? Because I would love to do it. And then it was every day. There was somebody at a gas station or on the side of the road or just absolutely random people. One of them was in a hardware store. I'm sitting there. We were doing a project. We were rebuilding a roof. And so I was getting there, buying the supplies to do it. Their system went down, so they couldn't scan the stuff. So they had to go reset the system. And there was a guy standing in line with me. He was a very, very big guy, covered in tattoos, just a really, really, really rough looking guy. I was like, okay, I'm going to stand over here by my stuff. But then I felt the Holy Ghost tell me, talk to him. I was like, oh, okay. I'm not a very social person. I don't like talking to just random people on the street. My grandpa does not meet a stranger. To me, everybody is strangers. But I was like, man, I'm not very good with just starting conversations from nothing. So I was like, man, weather's crazy. I didn't know what to do. Which there in South Texas, it's always windy, so it was really dumb to start that way. But it did start the conversation. He's like, yeah, it is. And then we just started talking. And then out of nowhere, he just started confessing sins that he had committed. Then he started confessing to things that I was looking around like, is somebody about to call the police? Because this is some serious things that you're saying, but there was nobody else there. It was a set appointment. And I'm just standing there, just really feeling awkward, I'm going to be honest. But he just started confessing, just pouring his whole life out to me. And then he just started just bawling, just crying and crying. And he's like, I'm sorry, I don't know what is going on. I'm like, I don't either. And he's like, what is this? What did you infect me with? And I said, that is the love of Christ. A lot of people have a wrong view of what the love of Christ is. The love of Christ is very powerful. It is a tool that we can use to reach everyone. It was situations like that that I was just like, wow, God is so big. We can do so much for Him if we can all stick together and just follow Him. Look for His feet. My grandpa has taught me that from the time I was little. Yes, church is important. Yes, relationship is important. All these things are very important. The most important thing you can ever do is have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to constantly seek Him in any scenario. A few months had gone by, and it was again, we get stuck in these routines. Even though we change it up, we still get stuck in a routine. That's what we have to constantly seek Him, constantly be pressing into Him so that He can reveal that to us. I was going to church, me and another young man that was there learning. And there's a town that I have to drive through just about every day. And as we were leaving town, they had just installed brand new speed bumps, but 12 in a row. And not ones that you can go over fast either. You have to go super, yeah. I got so angry, like genuinely angry in that moment because I have to drive over it every day. That's more time. The roads where I live in Mexico are not good. They're not maintained. So I'm just like, man, it's going to tear my truck up more. That's more cost. That's more just all the problems hit my head first. So I just pulled off the road. There was a small mom and pop restaurant right there. I just pulled in. I'm like, you know what? We're early. I'm not going over those speed bumps right this second. I'm so mad. So I walk in, and when I walked in, I was so frustrated, but there was a guy sitting at a table. And I knew that I was supposed to sit down beside him. Like, you could just see that he was troubled. And I was like, I'll do it in a minute. Sat down at a different table, called my wife, and just started complaining. I complained for a little while. It was multiple things that day. That was just the final straw. As I was on the phone, the man got up and walked out. And I heard, "You missed your opportunity." And I knew that that was the appointment that was set for me that day. I had allowed my emotions and something as small as speed bumps veer me off of what I knew I was supposed to do. And I was like, I'll fix it. And I physically could not get out of the chair. And I heard again, "You missed your opportunity." And now it's up to the next person to hopefully listen so that that person can experience freedom. And I know from working in ministry that could be years. Because how many before me didn't listen? And how many after me are not going to listen to what they know they're supposed to do? We can't be those people. There's already too much pain in this world. There's already too much suffering in this world for us to be the ones to say, the next person will get him. Because if he dies, that's on us. Him not getting freedom and to experience the love of God is on us. We have to take that next step. We have to be the ones that everyone knows that you can go to. One of the biggest compliments that I've ever heard from my dad and my grandpa about their life is where my dad's house is. The neighbors around, they told my dad, "We don't even need to hear your truck or for you to send us a message. We know when you come into town. Because there's peace. We can feel when your presence, the presence that you carry, comes into town." The house that my dad lives at now, when he first moved there 7 years ago, I moved there with him. He said, He went and prayed and fasted. He came back and he told the whole family, he said, we're not going to witness to a single person. We're not going to pass out tracts. We're just going to be friendly neighbors. And we're going to let the presence of God that we carry affect their lives. Today, three houses each direction, everyone saved. And it's because they came to us asking, what is this that you have? There is something that y'all carry that we need. You don't have to come up here and preach to change people's lives. I know that so many people are afraid. They're like, we can't do the big things. You don't have to right now. Every company, every farm, every person starts with something small. It takes one person saying, yes, I'll put in the work. Because God is going to meet you where you're at. Whatever level that you are at, that's where he's going to meet you. He loves us so much. He's there for us. We just have to open our hearts and our minds to him. Give it all to him. And you will absolutely be amazed at what he wants you to do. At what he will teach you to do. When I first started in ministry, as they said, I'm the 10th generation in my family. That was very intimidating to hear as a kid. Saying, there is no way I can do what my dad and grandpa do. I still feel that at times. But I know that right now, I don't have to. But what I do have to do is what God told me to do. That is a requirement. A few months ago, I had hit kind of a difficult time. There was many things happening and many things were falling apart, it felt like, in my personal life. And I was in a service, and God only told me one thing. I was about to preach before he said this. Stop taking my commands as suggestions. It's not going to take far for any of us to look before we see where we have done that. He has invited us to do the impossible, but we have to give it all to him. I'm very grateful to have this opportunity with y'all this morning to glorify his name, to meet you so that I know that there are people here in this town that are fighting the good fight of faith. And I hope that I am an encouragement to y'all to take that next step and to tell you we've got this. You are not alone. He is waiting for us to take that next step. He's standing there with his hand out. He sacrificed everything for us. And he's still willing to give. I'm so grateful for that. And I thank y'all very much for this opportunity to be here. To be able to speak this morning, I feel very honored, and I love and respect y'all, and y'all will be in my prayers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Corbin. You know, Corbin, and his family. We've only been exposed to them for a couple of hours, but already a lot of what they carry has rubbed off on us. And one of those things is just humility. I tell you, Corbin was sharing some other testimonies at the other conference that will make the hair on your arm stand up in terms of the dangerous situations they move in every single day. And the way their lives are literally often at knife point or at gunpoint, literally, as they preach the gospel. And I know he could have pulled out a whole lot of stories, a whole lot of testimonies out of the bag to share with us this morning, but we trusted that the Lord will speak to us through him. And so there's an invitation to respond this morning. You see, we have a choice. We can go home now and eat the Sunday lunch and say, that was amazing. Those people are really amazing and wow, they are obedient to the call of God. But that's not why they came. And so I want us to just, for a moment, just close our eyes and I want us to reflect and then to respond. Jesus, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Lord, we thank you that it's not complicated. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a choice. But with a choice, there rests a responsibility. And so this morning, Lord, we bring our hearts before you. We bring our lives before you. We acknowledge, Lord, that each of us came here with a different set of circumstances this morning. Each with a unique environment, a unique family situation, a unique current work situation, whatever. Lord, we all came in here with different issues. And yet you knew we would come and you've been ready for us. Lord, you know who in this room has responded to your love. Who's made Jesus Lord, as Corbin said. And this morning I want to extend an invitation. If you cannot honestly, convincingly say Jesus is Lord of my life, then this morning was for you. And nobody's going to force you to choose Jesus. Nobody's going to force you to make him Lord. Only you can do that. It's your choice. You see, there are people walking around with that man, like that man with the tattoos in our town. They don't necessarily have tattoos on, but inside they're broken. And perhaps you, that person this morning, just in a different format. And you're saying, my life is falling apart. I'm not coping. And like Corbin said, Jesus is standing with his hand open. He's saying, will you invite me to be not only your Savior, but your Lord? And my guess is that most people in this room have done that. Most people have said, Jesus, be my Lord. But I would also guess that somebody hasn't. Or perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you made that choice. You accept that invitation, but life came at you and you fell short and you perhaps blamed yourself and you didn't run back to God, you ran away from God. And Jesus is fine with that as well. He's just saying, come, come my son, come my daughter. And that's why this morning is here, for you to respond. So I want us to take 15 seconds and I want to ask you to ask yourself this question. Is Jesus Lord of my life? And then I'm going to pray for us. So right now I want to ask, while every eye is closed, if you're that person that's sitting here this morning and say, Pastor Richard, I can't with confidence say that Jesus is Lord of my life. I can't with confidence say that if a truck hit me when I left this place, I can't with confidence say I'd go to heaven. Then this moment is for you to respond. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. To move on every heart. And so while every eye is closed, if you have never made Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to be bold and just raise up your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? And if you're sitting here this morning, you've drifted away from God. It happens to us. We all fall away at times. But you want to come back to God today. I want you to be really bold and say, Jesus, I'm coming back. I chose you. I walked away, but today I'm coming back. Just raise those hands. Who am I praying for? Thank you for that hand. Yes, there's a whole bunch of us. Okay. Guys, I want you to be really brave. You know, Jesus hung on a cross naked for you. He was shamed. So that we don't have to suffer shame. But the least we can do is honor Him publicly. And say, Lord, I'm choosing You with everything, including my legs. And right now, I'm going to say that I chose Jesus. So if you raised your hand, I want you to be really bold. And come to the front. Let's just give those guys a hand. If you put up your hand, come to the front. We're going to pray for you. I'm just going to lead them in a prayer and we're all going to pray this together. Guys, you pray after me. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for this day. Thank you for reaching me. You knew I'd be here. And so today, I confess with my mouth and I believe with my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. I repent. I say sorry for the things I've done, for the things I've said. I'm done with the old. I choose the new. I choose you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Take over, Jesus. Jesus, be Lord of my life. I ask. Amen. Amen. You know, the Word of God says that there's a party in heaven right now. The angels are celebrating because you've come back and you've chosen Him. And so we rejoice with you guys. And so if I can just ask the team over here, if you guys can just pray with these folk over here and just trust the Lord for words over their lives and just hear if there's any specific prayer need. And then I felt, elders, if you can join as well. Most of what Corbin had to say today was not to them, it was to us. The saved, the already saved. And that's why I love every time that I don't preach or Jolene preaches. We normally let Liesl preach, or we let Durkee preach, or we let somebody with an evangelism gifting on their lives preach. Because I'm not a natural evangelist and neither is Jolene. And so that's why we have the evangelists that come in and they shake the cage a bit. So I hope you felt your cage slightly shaken this morning. Can I have like one? There we go. There are a couple of us. And what Corbin essentially said is you don't need to be Richard, you don't need to be Jolene, Derek, you don't need to be up here to work out the gospel. God has got a plan and an appointment every day for you. So let me just pray for us. Lord, we respond this morning. And we thank you, Jesus, that each one of us is called to reach another with the love of Christ. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, for obedience. Obedience to manifest in our midst. That we will not take your commands as suggestions, Lord, to share the love of Christ.
And so, Holy Spirit, even as you are pruning us in this season, thank you that this morning we can be challenged and to ask, what are we doing with the love of Christ? Are we sharing the love of Christ? Are we stepping into the divine appointments that you have set up for us every day? And so, Father, I bless this church. I bless everybody here with obedience in the Spirit to say yes to Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.